We are so fortunate to have not just John, which was incredible, that presentation in the machine, but also a second machine builder today. And they're each taking very different approaches to the real challenges of tactile transfer. Nick Berg of Endpoint Audio is the man the top Hollywood film studios call to get their audio elements transferred for major reissues. For Nick, a cylinder is yet another historical technology to master. And like John, he's pushing the envelope, raising the bar, or, as we'll see here in a bit, raising and lowering the mandrel to get the best possible sound from these challenging artifacts. Nick.
Hi, thank you for having me. I do stutter a little bit, so thanks for your understanding and patience. Appreciate it. So usually I'm dealing with this kind of mess. This is a mag track, and here's a close-up. And already, I've been asked, so what are you presenting on here? but about 15 years ago, I undertook the challenge of trying to make a playback machine for that'll equal disc playback in WoW and Flutter, Rumble and such. And so this was that old machine from 2001. And but there was no test material to test out the machine. And so I also started to work on doing some wax and lacquer test recordings. So here's the Scully lay that's been updated for doing wax cutting. So the main thing I learned from this endeavor back then was that the harder you push on this format for sound quality, the harder it pushes back. And this format is ideal at the time for doing home recordings and field recordings and such, but to get it to high quality disc standards is a real humbling challenge. It's very difficult. So the biggest problem with the format, with the cylinder format, is it's a cylinder, and a small cylinder. So not only is the linear speed very low, it's about the label area of a 78 RPM disc, but also any deviation on the circumference gets magnified because of this small diameter. So here's an example of an extreme eccentric cylinder. And you can see what happens here. And this causes a wow from changing linear speed, as well as a wow from the arm scrubbing back and forth. Warp wow, it's called. The same thing is happening with the hiss and noise floor. So there's changing hiss spectrum with changing linear speed, as well as the effective weight of the stylus is changing between the upwards and downwards movement. And here's the worst case, an oval. So you can't really adjust on the physical domain for an issue like this. And here's what it looks like in real life. And so here's an extreme example. This is a blue Amberol, three revolutions here. So you see the eccentricity, the oval, as well as higher harmonics due to deformation issues. So that's the first part of the problem. The second part of the problem is that this rate, the eccentricity rate as well as the oval rate, is in the worst possible place it could be. meaning that any small change here is an area where the ear is especially aware of. This is 160 RPM, those lines there, and it's 120 RPM here. So still in this really bad area. So although good results were possible through all this, it was never possible to equal the sound quality of even a usual archival disk machine. And so I kind of ended it with, with it getting the best of me and just kind of leaving it sit for a while. But it seemed like it was an opportunity to have a rematch, to get back at the cylinder, see if it was away. So to get back, I had to come back strong. So this is my new machine. So it has to have a little extra horsepower under the hood to help with some of these issues that I'll talk about. Here's the main thing happening under the hood. So it's looking at the edge of the cylinder. And calculating the deviation going on. And it's generating an error tracking signal based on that. And that information can be used in multiple ways. So first of all, it can be helpful in just manually scoring up the cylinder. And then it allows de-wobble the circumference to eliminate warp wow, and help with stylus ballistics. It can also be used to de-wow those issues. So here's our wobble video again. And so here's a crude graphic on how this thing works to do the de-wobble. So essentially, when the wobble goes up, the machine goes down. Kind of watch how this works quickly. This is a little crude, but in practice, the slide is working half a micron accuracy or so. So here's a video. So look at the head shell here. You can start with the de-wobble off. You can see it kind of bouncing around there. So here now. Thank you. So here the cartridge is standing still, and the machine is moving around it, essentially. So it's in this. Watch it one more time, because this is like a wear issue as well as a wow issue, and a hiss issue. So the whole thing essentially moving around it, and it's nice and stable there. Okay. So here are the results. So here's an extreme example again with all the harmonics as well. And this is the final outcome here. And the same error signal can be exploited for wow correction as well, tracking the linear speed. And you can do it by with doing just fine on the motor servo, or after the fact with capstan or something like that in post-production. So here are some basic features as well of the machine. So the disk turntable has it really easy in that it's just a flywheel, essentially, the platter of the disk machine, turning like a top on a little point. And this is ideal for speed consistency and wow and flutter. But as soon as you turn this 90 degrees, it gets really messy, and it's really hard to maintain that kind of wow and flutter horizontally. So this uses a direct drive. High-tech drive motor to accomplish that. And there's a control panel. Has locate zero, start, stop, shuttle, and all that sort of thing. And so most of these systems, the tone arm itself is what kind of moves back and forth to track the grooves. But in this instance, it's more like shift the entire section approach. So the entire slide and bass and laser and arm are all in one section moving. This helps with vibration and things like that. And he uses this kind of a virtual feed screw system. So it's actual fixed pitch, but with hall sensor feedback to adjust for any errors. So if it's shrunk, or if you type in 100 and it's actually 150 or something, it'll automatically correct for that. And this allows auto tracking, but without the hunting that you often get with linear tracking arms. Heavy bass here for low vibration and exercise when you feel like it at the archive. And the arm is SME, which is helpful because it's used on disk machines as well. And the long length of the arm helps reduce warp wow if the wobbling is not used. And it's compatible head shells and such with other turntables, which is helpful to kind of swap things back and forth. And so because the motor is on a vertical slide, it opens up the opportunity to adjust a vertical tracking angle on the fly, essentially. Which is helpful because of the odd geometry of the groove. An adjustable interchangeable mandrel. Just a quick shot of that. There's a guide track in the front for holding a microscope for inspecting any kind of groove damage, things like that. And so technology availability, it's available for transfers and endpoint audio, plus it's available in three different variations with full wobble and wow correction, or without the wobble correction, with the wow correction. And lastly, just a basic transport without either of those. So to test this machine, I also dusted off the test apparatus. And I'm doing wax with a 2-minute groove, as well as, so these are good for doing wear tests, style eye options, and understanding this odd groove shape. And also I've been recording on plastic cylinders with a micro groove stylus. So these are good for wow and flutter, rumble testing, things like that. So here's a picture of a modern stereo cutting head with an Edison 2-minute jewel attached, 100 years old or so. There on the torque tube, it's a little hard to see because it's so small, but there at the point, and there's a little jewel there. So, full stereo is possible if you need it on a wax cylinder. And here's a picture on the machine with Ediphone blanks. And concentricity is extremely important, which is you see dial indicator there, to make sure everything is running nice and true. And this is an example of the plastic cylinders done with microgroove stylus. And test cylinder availability, because I'm sure I'd be interested in that. So it's currently just for testing this machine, but hopefully available in the future. To do a proper test recording, I think it would involve some collaboration with the AES or ARSC or something like that, because it's definitely a very big endeavor, but it's possible. So I'd like to end with this thing actually working. So this is kind of like extreme example here. So this is, let me see how this works. So this is a LP moving coil cartridge with only about a half millimeter between the stylus and the bottom of the cartridge. And so to play something at 160 RPM, a cylinder like this, it's kind of, a no-no. If you watch the bottom of it and the top of it and look for any, wobbles it's playing around. And so this is a stereo microgroove RAA cylinder. And the sound you're hearing is off of that that plastic cylinder, even though it doesn't look like it might be. So here it goes. Thank you very much.